Now let's talk about what are the principles of corporate governance. So principles of corporate governance are primarily three. First, very important principle is transparency. Corporate governance wants to ensure that you're transparent as a company when it comes to, you know, declaring any information with respect to business practices. It also means quality of something which enables one to understand the truth easily. So looking at any data table which has given us financial information or any transcripts of the company or investor presentation, I should understand what is the motive of the company, what has happened in the past. The data should be of the right quality. So transparency ensures that you give the right data to right stakeholder on time. Next is accountability. When we talk about accountability, it says you as a company are liable to explain the results of your decisions taken in interest of others. So accountability means as a board or as company, what decisions have been taken and why they were taken, whether they were really, you know, important, whether it ensured the share price going up or whether they were detrimental. If detrimental, why were they taken? So you are accountable to all the shareholders to explain them in advance why a company has taken an X decision and how the company has improved, or maybe a company's decision went wrong. So entire accountability is fair disclosure of your decisions. Next is independence. Independence means whenever you put good corporate governance system in place, it can only happen when there is decentralized management. That means top management ensures that everybody is involved in doing activity. It requires independence from the board of directors to take some decisions, and it also requires for an employee to receive some independence while taking decisions. Only those decisions which can be taken at different levels could be defined well, and they could help a company achieve the goal better. So ensure your company manages good transparency, you are accountable for the actions or decisions taken on behalf of all the shareholders, and you're giving independence to people, to the top management or the heads, to take the decisions on time. Let's look about some common elements when it comes to corporate governance regulations. So corporate governance regulations, if you see across any country, whether it's India or abroad, there are some common things in each corporate governance regulations. Now, please understand, corporate governance regulations are different in different countries. However, the crux is around all these components. First, any country's corporate governance regulation will talk about what should be the board of directors. What should it comprise out? How many executive directors, how many independent directors, non-executive directors? This would be very clearly defined when it comes to definition or regulation with respect to corporate governance. Okay. Second, after the any country is saying what should be the board composition, it will also say what should be the broad committee. So now board of directors composition I've defined. I may also define their roles and regulation. And then I will also say that whatever this board has been, what kind of subcommittees are they handling? So each board member, what are the different subcommittees under the board members? What will they overlook? Whether financials, whether CSR activities, whether human resources. So different subcommittees could be formed under the board as broad committees to be governed. There could be the third regulation talks about, third common thing about the regulation is all corporate governances would talk about what kind of disclosures to be done and how transparency could be maintained. So it will talk about what is confidential, what is information to be given to the shareholder, what decisions you will involve the shareholder, where the voting would be conducted, and so on. And these regulations will help a company deal comparatively more transparent than the normal dealing of the company. Each regulation defines what is the shareholder right, what are the voting rights, when the voting rights would be used by the shareholders, when not to be used, whether it is, you know, online voting or physical voting, ballot paper voting, that would also be defined under the shareholder rights. All corporate governance regulation also defined what kind of compensation could be given. A slab or a maximum slab of compensation is defined usually by these regulations so that no top management or board takes the maximum profit back home. Corporate governance regulation also talks about related party transaction. Related party means maybe I'm a subsidiary or maybe I'm a promoter. I have some stake or share in the company. What kind of dealings are happening with me? Am I taking the assets back home? What kind of money is charged if I'm using the assets of the company? So this becomes like a related party transaction. So what related party transaction does the company do? You need to disclose them and at what price they are done. Board of directors will also check that no party gets a favor or is our board is never biased towards any party. Company is fair in dealings with all the related parties for any kind of transaction. These corporate governance regulations also talk about a very important aspect, that is insider trading and market abuse. Insider trading means I being at the head, I know what should be the true value of the company or intrinsic value of the company. I inform this to my relatives, to my friends, or maybe to my family, and try to hold a lot of shares in advance, or maybe sell a lot of shares if I see that the value of the share is going to come down. I may give information to some stock brokers or share companies and earn money, which is information which is confidential. This is not allowed. This particular aspect is known as insider trading. This insider trading has led to a lot of scams or frauds in the past. So insider trading regulations would be clearly defined to ensure there is no market abuse by any of the stakeholders or parties involved in the company. This entire setup of regulating or following good corporate governance regulations would ensure protection of minority shareholders. At times, being retail investors, our stake may only be 10% and 90% would be institutional investors. So corporate governance regulations ensures that the 10% minority stakeholders do not face problem because of decision taken by the other 90%. So a fair dealing happens with respect to minority shareholders. They don't feel cheated. Decisions are taken into consideration all kind of stakeholders. This is regulation which is defined under corporate governance by a lot of companies. There are regulation with respect to whistleblowers also. If I'm an employee of the company, I see some kind of fraud and cheating happening in the company and I blow the whistle to the government, inform them about misconduct of the company, top management, or I blow the whistle to the board of directors, there are regulations for my protection so that I don't face any problem in future. So these regulations are also well defined in corporate governance. There are CSR norms and CSR regulations also in place, which are defined under corporate governance by each country. With ESG getting a lot of prominence, this CSR funds or this ESG or sustainability is now a new aim, not only in India, but across the world. So these regulations also take care about how much funding to be done, what money to be spent, how the impact to be reported and so on. So regulations are very clearly mentioned with respect to what has to be disclosed, not to be disclosed, and what is ethical, not ethical, and how the business conduct should be. Are regulations mentioned commonly in these corporate governance regulations in our country as well as in all other countries. So these are some broad idea of what are the regulations which fall under corporate governance. Let's now talk about what's happening in India. What is SEBI's code of conduct with respect to corporate governance? If you look at SEBI guidelines, they are divided under these broad categories. So SEBI defines the board of directors. It says how many people can be on the board, who's the non-executive director, who's the executive director, who's an independent director, a person can be director of how many companies, what is allowed, what is disallowed. Similarly, it also mentions with respect to audit committee to be formed, members, the tenure till the time the audit committee would be there, how many number of audits should be done in the year, what would be an internal audit or external audit, where an external auditor agency to be appointed is well defined in the SEBI code. Third, it also has given some guidelines with respect to remuneration of directors. How much should be the maximum which could be paid or the minimum which remuneration to be paid to the directors. No company can pay in excess of whatever is mentioned in the regulation. So regulation is very clear with respect to remuneration of directors. As you're defining total number of directors, you're also defining how much time will these directors spend and what would be the remuneration paid to them. A broad procedure is given with respect to the functioning of the board of directors by SEBI. Bare minimum regulation is maintained. Companies may further make it better by having their own corporate governance practices. It also defines What is the role of the management? Management analysis discussion and analysis is a mandate to be put in the annual report of all the public listed companies, where management is going to evaluate the company basis different aspects, financial, business strategy, give information how the company would, you know, work in future, what kind of profitability will it earn. So all these need to be mentioned very well in case of corporate governance when it comes to management. So regulations are in place for management also, where management discussion analysis is one example, which is a mandate by SEBI. Lot of rights of shareholders are mentioned. So shareholders have what rights, and shareholders can do voting when, whether ballot or whether, you know, e-voting. NSDL and CDSL are depositories, help in this entire voting process. So shareholder voting rights, shareholder rights with respect to any kind of, you know, their queries with respect to companies' fair dealing, all that regulations are also mentioned by SEBI's Code of Corporate Governance. There is a report of corporate governance, a structure is defined by SEBI, which needs to be followed by each company while reporting their corporate governance practices in the annual report. And compliance of what is to be done, what not to be done, is also very well mentioned with respect to SEBI code. When we say compliance, it could be CSR fund compliance or compliance with respect to carrying forward, you know, any kind of losses or any kind of decisions which were taken, which were not right or wrong. You know, such kind of regulations are very clearly mentioned with respect to what a company need to do when it comes to corporate governance. So what kind of transparency and accountability to be done? SEBI Code of Conduct regulations speaks about all these regulations in India. Now, if SEBI has also given you regulation, you as a company, what are those principles which you need to follow to ensure your company is very ethical or is following corporate governance practices? I'll say good corporate governance practices basically work around these principles. First principle is ethical approach. So you as a company feel that it is very much essential for each stakeholder to behave ethically towards others. You'll emphasize ethical behavior or approach to be built in the culture of your organization. You'll talk about a lot of societal values, having trust among each other, you know, trying to be transparent in your dealings, and you'll try to build this ethical behavior or culture in your organization paradigm. You'll also trying to have balanced objectives. See, every company should look at SMART goals. You need to define your objectives or goals which are achievable and try to work towards those goals. So ensure all your alignments of goals and objectives are towards the vision of the company and you don't get distorted in between. So corporate governance ensures you have the right vision in place, right objectives to meet those goals and objectives. Each party places parts very clearly. Corporate governance defines who are the key players, who are the owners, directors, staffs, what are responsibility of each party towards others. And so it ensures each individual in the company knows the role well and it's committed and transparent towards that role. Corporate governance practices help decision-making process to be faster. It ensures the decision is taken, always considering all the three principles, transparency, accountability, and being fair in your dealings. So it will always give weight to all the stakeholders and take decisions which are right for and will take accountability for its action. When you talk about good corporate governance, it ensured equal concern for all stakeholders. So you are not only looking as a board of director towards the interest of the shareholder, thereby looking at a decision which only increases shareholder, you know, share price in the market, but you'll also see that it doesn't impact my debt holders or it doesn't impact the customer or the employees of the company. Good corporate governance ensures a company is accountable for all its action and it's transparent in its dealing and gives fair information to all the stakeholders. If you are now looking and being one of the good companies toward corporate governance, there are five golden rules which you need to follow. First being ensure your company follows good ethical practices. So ethics, have ethics defined in your business. Align your business goals along with your vision. Ensure that you're meeting your business goals. And this business goal should not only meet the vision, but they should be such that they are ensuring suitable stakeholder decision-making model. Decisions could be taken based on whatever the goals you have aligned. Your third principle is strategic management. Strategic management ensures each stakeholder's value is calculated and you're looking at decision basis all stakeholders in the company. Then the fourth principle being organization structure to be defined well, so that organization knows, each individual knows how to perform, how to behave to ensure good corporate governance practices in the company. And last principle is very good reporting system, wherein systems and structure are in place so that you are ensuring transparency and accountability towards even spending a single penny in the company. So these five principles are five golden rules of good corporate governance practices in any company. Now let's talk about what's happening with respect to corporate governance, why it is essential. Till now we've seen that corporate governance ensures better accountability, transparency. So what I want to make you understand from this slide is corporate governance practices are utmost important for any company, and that ensures that all stakeholders feel engaged and committed towards driving the common goal of the company. So whenever a company is formulating a strategy or is looking at defining their goals or objectives, it needs to actually take all the stakeholders into consideration. So if you look at a company, there's a lot of pressure in the company, which is internal as well as external. If you look at internal pressure, there is a main board. Okay, so there's a board of director, main board, the management, top management of the company, who are basically the ones who are answerable to all other stakeholders. Now, this board is also looking at what is internal in the company and what is external in the company. If you look at internal organization, it will see whether the company is standalone, does it have subsidiaries, how is it dealing with the subsidiary, what kind of capital is given, etc. If you look at other stakeholders, except for the company and its subsidiary, so I'll say that there are employees in the company, there is government, there are owners, there are customers, there are trade associations. So all these are business partners, maybe all these are also getting impacted with whatever, or are also creating a lot of pressure on the board as well as the organization to define how the working would go. And the next pressure which a company actually sees is the business environment. The environment in which it is dealing, the economic environment of the country, the demand of the sale forecast, the regulatory bodies, maybe if you are dealing in say US, the Federal Reserve or the US Commission, in Europe, European Commission, in India, SEBI. So all these are also impacting the way you define your policies or strategy. So each company, whenever they define their corporate governance strategy or they are defining their corporate governance practices, need to consider all these pressures and try to engage more and more stakeholders, take feedback from them, get them involved in decision making, get them involved in your corporate governance practices to ensure a better management of the company. So you, as a company, you need to manage all these pressures and ensure that you give the good corporate governance practice and good corporate governance result to all the stakeholders. Now, talking about Indian companies, do you think corporate governance is important for Indian companies? Yes. And why is it important? There are several factors which are basically highlighted here to make you understand why corporate governance is now becoming very important in India. First, if your company follows corporate governance practices, as an investor, I'm confident about investing in your share. So it's not only me as a domestic investor, but even a foreign investor would look at investing more money in the company's share or stake. It actually imbibes positive sentiments. Since you are fair in your dealing, you have corporate governance practices which you follow. And so investing in your company looks good to me, safer to me compared to other companies. So it is giving me a lot of confidence as an investor when I look at your corporate governance practices, that you are very transparent and accountable for all your decisions. Next, if the company is following corporate governance in India, so as an Indian company, you are following corporate governance practices, I am a retail investor, I am one who is a minority shareholder, I feel that the board and the majority shareholders would not take any decisions which would be detrimental towards my stake. So I feel more safer when it comes to investing in the company as a retail investor. So minority shareholders' interests are taken into consideration. They are managed And you're also fair in dealings when it comes to SEBI regulations. So SEBI regulation says what can be done, not done, so that minorities shareholders do not face a loss that could be managed. Third is financial stability. All Indian companies following good corporate governance practices, they are also disclosing what is the management discussion analysis, how would they deal today, what is the system in place, how the future would be secure, what sustainable practices. This ensures that they are where, there is lesser risk in the company and the company is more financially stable. Since you have system in place, you have control and checks in place, so you are financially more stable compared to other companies. Indian companies are following corporate governance or would be forced to follow corporate governance because of legal and regulatory compliances. So SEBI is monitoring bigger companies, what kind of practices they are doing, and there are a lot of tribunals which are now accessible to normal shareholders for filing a dispute. So you don't want your company to fall into any kind of such dispute, and you want to ensure your shareholder remains happy. And the shareholder does not challenge any of the decision taken by a company since you are following the right legal and regulatory compliances. So these compliances are also forcing companies now to look at corporate governance. So one compliance, is 2% of the profitability to be invested on CSR activity. Yes, that is ensuring corporate governance practices to be taken up seriously. Corporate governance practices in India are also become very significant because now it's a lot of foreign investors are looking at India being an emerging economy and giving a better returns compared to other share market. Since that the case, a lot of foreign investors are getting attracted, and these foreign investors always prefer putting money in companies which are transparent. So if you have good corporate governance practices in place, you became one of the major choice of your foreign investment. Maybe in that particular sector, your competitor is getting a lot of foreign investment you are not getting because you didn't follow corporate governance. So corporate governance would force you to get into good practices so that you can get more and more investors for your future projects. CSR, corporate social responsibility, and India is very, very serious about picking up CSR activities, and now even ESG or sustainability goals. These goals or this ethical activity towards the society, which is now coming under regulatory bodies, regulations talking about it, it's making a mandate for companies to be transparent and fair in their dealings. So corporate governance becomes very important when you talk about CSR or when you talk about meeting the ESG goals. There is efficient resource allocation to be done. So in India, there are a lot of resources available. You want to ensure you're using the resources properly for the future generation. If that's the case, you need to have good corporate governance practices in place. Use those resources well, ensure the cost is maintained, and you are not trying to harm the nature, or you are not playing with any natural resources which is going to harm the future generation. You are efficiently using resources so that you have more resources available in future. So efficient resources allocation, their costing, maybe if you're consuming any natural resource or if you're consuming any resource which is you are what are you doing to give back to the society? So efficient resource allocation also is forcing companies to now look at corporate governance. A lot of stakeholder confidence get built if you follow corporate governance practices. So now all the not only the shareholders but all the stakeholders are ensuring that the company has proper systems in place and they are following right practices. Corporate governance practices in India are slowly picking up and they are becoming a mandate, especially with public listed companies. This mandate is ensuring that the shareholders feel confident and they keep on investing their money in the share market. More money coming in the business, more coming in the share market is ensuring better products, expanding of businesses, and thereby leading to economic growth of India. So economic would only grow if we have good corporate governance practices, which will get all the investors to look at India as an investment avenue. So that's about what's happening in India. Now let's understand what are the benefits of you. For you, in case you're following corporate governance, if you're following corporate governance practices, the first very big benefit which you get as a company is it ensures success and higher economic growth of your business. It also ensures good and strong corporate image in the market. Strong corporate governance is equal to strong goodwill for the company. It also ensures that you're able to lower your capital cost. If you're following good corporate governance practices, raising money in form of debt becomes cheaper. Raising money in form of equity also becomes cheaper. So investors look upon you and they are ready to buy your share. So lowers your capital cost. It positively impacts your share price. So good practices by big companies are ensuring that more investor confidence and the share price in the market keeps on increasing. If you also talk about corporate governance, a proper inducement to the owners as well as managers to achieve objectives ensures that the company is able to meet the goals set up by it efficiently. Everybody is focused towards what to be done and the systems being in place. Corporate governance helps these companies to achieve targets better or goals faster compared to what could have been achieved without a corporate governance practice. Corporate governance ensures waste are minimum, cost is kept intact. There are no corruption activities, no risk with respect to frauds or scams or mismanagement happening in the company, thereby ensuring profitability for the shareholders is intact. Corporate governance also helps in forming a good brand and development of that brand. We all know Tata, they started corporate governance practices before the government could tell them to start any such practice. And that's the reason maybe it created a very big brand. When you say Tata, people know it's an ethical company and it will do good for any of its stakeholders. So brand formation and building or development happens with good corporate governance practices. Good corporate governance practices also ensures that effective management of the organization is taken care of. So you have laid system procedures which says who would be, take what decision and who are the authorized people to finally check the decisions. So you are ensuring accountability of decisions. You are ensuring transparency of information to be shared, which ensures good and effective business management within the organization since processes are clearly defined. So this is about benefits of corporate governance. I hope we all would now look at corporate governance practices to be instilled in our respective companies. Thank you.